I see that mentor coach Nan Enerson is here. Hey, Nan.
Hello.
I'm here.
How are you? Oh, your voice sounds great.
It's so much better than what it has been over the past several weeks. That's for sure.
I've held off calling you because I didn't want to strain your voice.
Excuse me.
Yeah,
yes,
well, glad you're here. It's great to have
you
on. We have a great group today, lots of great questions. So before I introduce you to our coaching client, I want to say hi and tell everybody all about you.
Okay. Hi, everybody. I'm Nan Enerson. I'm Canadian. I live in Ontario, just west of Toronto. I received my certification from CTA in 2004, and I was very honored to be invited to join the faculty, and I started my first CCP in January of 2006, so I'm heading into my 10th year of doing these coach certification programs. I'll tell you a little bit about my journey to coaching, how I got here. I spent over 30 years working in the not-for-profit sector in a variety of roles, and the final 12 of them was as executive director for an organization that dealt with crisis and suicide. I spent a lot of my time mentoring and coaching my staff, volunteers in the organization, colleagues in other organizations. I didn't realize that what I was doing was actually coaching. I didn't realize it had a name as I was doing it. I knew that I was the go-to person. Some of you might relate to this. Whenever anybody had a problem or something they needed to talk through, I was the one that they came to. And so I knew that I had a knack for helping people in that way, and I also knew that I loved doing it. Now, in the work that I was doing, I was also one of those A-type personalities, very driven, perfectionist, to the point where I really literally burned myself out. I mean, I was ignoring the signals and symptoms of stress to the point where I ended up having emergency surgery. And my husband and my two teenaged children at the time, I didn't realize it, were told that it was likely that I would not survive the surgery and to prepare for the worst. Of course, obviously, I did survive it. And when I heard what I had put them through, I can only imagine what it was like for them. But I was appalled that my quest for perfection ended up having such a horrific impact on the people that I loved the most. And so I vowed that I would change my ways. I now refer to myself as a recovering perfectionist. I have learned that it's okay to make mistakes. I've given myself permission to make mistakes, and I shoot for excellence. I try to be the best that I can be at any given time, and I'm okay with that. So it took me a good year to recover, both physically and emotionally, from that experience. And I was looking for other work, other than to go back into that executive corporate type of world. I took a course and graduated in radio and television broadcasting, and I got picked up by an agency, and I spent a year doing commercials, TV and radio and voiceovers. I even did was in a couple of music videos. It was really fun. And at the end of the year, when it was time for me to renew my contract, I couldn't do it because what was missing for me was helping people. I learned that I really needed to be working in service of others and helping others. And so it was actually through a television program. Some of you might remember it. It was called Starting Over, about a bunch of women who were trying to make changes in their lives. And there were coaches there helping them, although looking back on it, I think they were more psychotherapists and counselors than coaches. However, it prompted me to start researching coaching, and I found CTA, and the rest is history. When I was looking for a niche market, my instructor at the time said, look for your passion. What are you most passionate about? And it was my family, my relationship with my husband. We have been married for over 45 years, very happily. We have two children who are successful, wonderful adults. We have wonderful, always have had wonderful relationships with our kids. And people said that they admired us, they were modeling their relationships and their family after us. They were asking us, what is your secret? And so I started writing down some of my thoughts, you know, what is our secret? And eventually I wrote a short book, and I found it so enjoyable. I also started a column in our regional newspaper called Ask Coach Nan, which I had for about 4 years. So if you enjoy writing, there's lots of opportunity in coaching for writing, articles, books, ebooks, blogs, that sort of thing. There's also, if you enjoy speaking, there are lots of opportunities for speaking in the coaching field as well, as one-on-one coaching sessions, lots of opportunities to do presentations, workshops, seminars, teleclasses, that sort of thing. I'm 67 years old. My husband retired a couple of years ago, and he says to me every once in a while, do you think you might retire anytime soon now? And I just can't. I love what I do. I'm so grateful that I love training. I love coaching, so I'm able to do what I love. It's they say when you love what you do that you never work a day in your life, and for me it's so true. And I owe it all to coaching that I have been able these past 10 years to work doing what I love, helping people, and it's quite amazing. My daughter has two sons, our son has two daughters, so I'm a very active and involved grandmother. Being a grandmother is one of the most magical things in the world as far as I'm concerned, and I absolutely adore it. My husband and I have a new puppy. She's 9 months old, an old English sheepdog. So we're training her to be a therapy dog so we can go into nursing homes and hospitals and so forth with her, and so that people can enjoy petting her and talking to her. So for me, life is great. It just doesn't get any better than this. And that's me. That's about all I can say. So, Lisa, there you go.
That's Nana and my story.
Yep. I love your story.
I love that. Like that. that thought of retiring, that's just not going to stick for you.
No,
too many fun things to do.
I don't know when
coaching.
That's going to happen.
I know, right?
All right.
Well, awesome. We do have two volunteers, and I did describe to them all about, kind of the coach procedures, but
okay.
I know you have, like, kind of more you'd want to add to that. I think you know what
okay.
I say. But our coach is Deidre, and she is from Illinois,
right.
And our client is Eliberto. So I'm not sure how you spell it, but I can say it.
H-E-L-I-B-E-R-T-O, and the H is silent.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. I totally did not spell that right, of course. Thank you, though.
I told you I heard about 1,000 iterations of my name. I'm beginning to make a compilation of them.
He's going to write a book.
And the funny thing is that I used to live in France, and in France it's pronounced Canu. And here in the United States, it's called Kano. And in my country, it's called Cano. So when they used to call me Monsieur Canu, I said, I don't know who he is.
You know what? I can totally relate. My last name is Enerson. It's spelled E-I-N-A-R-S-O-N. And like you, I just say to people, I don't really care how you pronounce it as long as you don't insult me.
Oh, that's great. Nan, I will turn it over to you.
Okay.
Your coach and client are ready, and I'm going to hit *6 to mute. And let me ask everyone else on the call that is not Deidre or Eliberto to hit *6 as well so we can give our coach and client the full line. And I will turn it over to you, Nan. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Lisa. Well, Deidre and Eliberto, thank you both so much for volunteering. I really admire that you stepped up to do that because it's hard. It's hard to do something that's a little bit scary. You know, you have a little bit of fear around it, and yet you faced that fear and you did it anyway. And I really admire that. And that's actually what we ask of our coaching clients. I mean, they want to make change in their lives, and change is scary, and they have fears around stepping out to do something that is totally different and do things that they've never done before. So you now have the opportunity to share with your future clients the fact that you know exactly how it feels to want to do something and be a little bit nervous about it, and yet to march right over that fear and do it anyway. So I applaud you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, there are some ground rules for this coach-to-coach session, and for all coaching, whether it's coaching here in a BAC with Lisa, whether it's doing a coach-to-coach session in our classes every other week, whether it's coaching with your own clients. We ask our clients to share personal information with us. And so we need to be able to create a very safe and warm environment in order for them to do so. And the best way that we can do that for our clients is to promise confidentiality so that they know that whatever they share with us, it doesn't leave the room. So coaching is a little bit like Vegas, you know, whatever stays in a coaching session stays, whatever comes up in a coaching session stays in a coaching session. So I hope that you both can commit to that promise of confidentiality.
Yes.
Yes? Okay, thank you. And I hope that everyone listening will as well. You know, this coaching profession is one of integrity. The ethics of our profession are very personal to all of us. We hold our integrity, our honesty, and we keep to that most sincerely. We are always our authentic selves as coaches. What you see is what you get. We don't try to change ourselves to be something that we think others would want us to be or the way we think we should be. We're always ourselves, and that's very important to this heart-centered profession. So, Deirdre, as a coach, you really don't have any, the coach has the easiest role. You don't have any preparation to do because the client always brings the agenda. They own it. So we never really know what we're going to be talking about with a client until we actually get into the session and they tell us. So no preparation other than for you to be able to remove distractions and really focus on your client, what he is saying, what he's not saying, you know, what's kind of behind the words or in between the lines. We listen for those kind of clues and cues that our clients give us. Sometimes it comes in the form of repetition. We'll hear a word or phrase that'll kind of pique our curiosity. And so just using your curiosity, using your questions to help you understand better what it is that your client is going through. And most importantly, you need to know the takeaway. We are going to be doing today and in our Coach the Coach program, or in our coach certification program, we do laser coaching. And what that means is that we take about 15 to 20 minutes per session. We ask the client at the top of the call so that we know what it is that they want to take away, what it is that's going to be most helpful for them to have so that they can begin to move forward toward whatever that change is or that goal is that they're looking for. So ordinarily I'm sorry, I'm going to have to cough just a moment. Excuse me. Ordinarily in a coaching session, you might spend anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour with a client. There are many coachable moments come up for you to follow. In a laser coaching session, we understand the takeaway, and then our questions are focused on helping our clients to get to that thing that they're looking for. Okay? So you're going to help your client achieve a shift. And by that I mean he's going to be able to see his problem or his challenge from a different perspective, maybe from a way he's never looked at it before. And you'll be able to hear that shift. And once that occurs, then you can go into options exploration in terms of, okay, so where are you going to go now? What are you going to do? What is one small step that you'll commit to taking to start you toward that journey? Ask your client to put a deadline on it, something that's doable for him. He knows his schedule. So we let our clients put their own deadlines on their action steps. And then as accountability partners, we ask them when and how they would like to report back to us once the action is complete. Now, in this case, you and Eliberto might not connect again. So you might want to invite him to choose his own accountability partner, someone that he trusts, that he would tell them, here's my intention, here's when I intend to complete it, and then report to them once he's finished his action commitment. Okay?
Okay.
And Aliberto, hopefully you have something that is a personal situation. I think Lisa probably described it can be about business. It can be about something in your personal life, health-related, whatever is real and current for you. And have a sense so that you can let Deidre know what would be most helpful for you. Would it be a strategy? Would it be a plan? Would it be making a decision? Whatever you need to help you move forward, okay? And then for all of you who are observers out there, make note of perhaps some really good coaching questions that you hear. Or you might think, well, I might have asked that question differently, or I might have wanted to ask something else. Would that have been okay? Make sure you listen for the shift so that you can hear when it happens. And then we'll do some debriefing, some discussion afterward of the call. And I'll open up the lines and you'll be able to share your comments with us. So, Deidre, I have that it is 25 past the hour. If you could be complete with your call by 22, okay? That would be great. And I'll let you take it away whenever you're ready.
Okay, now before I start, I have to put the disclaimer out there that I have never done this before. So if I stumble and make mistakes, that's okay, right?
Oh, listen, that's, you know what? Absolutely. It's through those mistakes that we learn and grow, right? And
okay.
Especially when we do these kinds of coach-the-coach sessions, that's the purpose of them, is for us to have an opportunity to, you know, to maybe do some stumbling and then to be able to get some constructive feedback so that we get better and better at it. So that's what makes you so brave. You've never done this before. I think that's amazing. And whatever you do, you'll be fine. And, you know, I'm here to help you with guidance if you need me. So
okay.
We'll get through this, okay?
Okay, so you said 20, so 20, so till
yeah,
20 of,
try
20,
to be
20 to the hour, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
Aliberto, can you hear me?
Yes, I do.
How are you?
I'm doing good, thank you. How are you today?
I'm good. My kids are in school, so it's a beautiful day.
Wonderful. Very sunny here in California too.
How's the weather sunny there?
Oh, it's very sunny. It's really cold though. Believe it or not, we're in Los Angeles having sunny New York City weather. It's in the 40,
oh, wow.
38, 43, something like that.
That's about the same weather here. So we're pretty much on the same page.
But it's really sunny and nice. So you don't feel that it's that cold because the sun is out.
Wow. And the sun being out definitely makes a difference. So I want to thank you for taking the time to come and speak with me. Please know that anything you say will be kept between us because I know where you are. I've been there, and I know sometimes when you are kind of going through something, it's very difficult to open up to someone because I battled that for many years. So I want to thank you for taking the time to come and speak with me. So what is it that you'd like to talk about today?
That's a very good question. I'm 55 years old. And I have gone through a lot of changes in the last 2 years, primarily linked to a very difficult divorce process. I'm so glad that Nan shared her story about being a perfectionist, because I happen to be married to a perfectionist for over 15 years, to the point that no matter what I did, no matter how much income I make, no matter how devoted I was to the family, it was never okay. to the point that I chose to find my sanity and file for divorce. And that became a bigger monster to deal with. And I'm recovering the pieces of this whole process, trying to get back my children to court, because in my mind, divorce was a personal decision for me to find myself again. But somehow, on the other side, it was taken as a betrayal. You are not committed. And if you choose a divorce, the message was, well, if you choose a divorce, then you are not going to have children. So I had to face something that is called parental alienation syndrome, which is very painful, and I don't wish anybody has to deal with it. It's very difficult to present it in court, and it takes thousands of dollars. But to make the story short, I'm not in any way, shape, or form remorseful that I did what I did, because there was no way out from the point of view that I tried counseling and the other person felt she didn't need counseling, and I tried communications and the other person felt that there was no need to talk. So I had to look for counseling myself and understand that I was in the right pathway to try to find myself. So in this divorce process, we've been stuck in so many different ways, primarily because the other part was looking at, you don't have the right to see the children, and everything you own belongs to me, and everything is my way. So I have been very, very certain from the point of view that my parental rights are not negotiable. And I mean parental rights, having the right to spend time with my children, which I think every parent should have. And also understand that I do see that in a community state property, whatever I own within the marriage, it belongs 50% to the other party. However, it's difficult to give everything you have, but the other party feels that whatever the person made during the marriage belongs to the other person. So this has created this stuckness on the advancement in the divorce process. I chose to tackle the parental rights first, because those were the most important to me. And I'm content and happy to say that the system does work. I do see my children now every other weekend, and I spend time with them every week, and with persistence and constancy, I can say that I have my children back. But the place that I'm a little bit stuck is on the finalizing of the divorce, because of the so many issues that are there facing the situation. So sometimes you want to have money, and splitting the money becomes a bigger issue rather than making it. So that's what I am today.
Okay, now let me repeat this back to you, and I apologize if I get something a little bit mixed up, only because you were cutting in and out just a little bit. So how long were you married?
Around 15 years.
15 years?
Yes.
Okay, so what I'm understanding is you were in a difficult divorce only because it appeared to you that nothing you did was ever good enough. So it was by your choice to seek for a divorce. So because you were in a situation where you just couldn't meet meet her standards or whatever. So since that time, although you've been going through this very challenging time of getting your parental rights back for your children, how do you feel now?
I feel amazing because I used to feel lonely having a wife and two children. And now that I live by myself, I feel at peace and I have company. And I enjoy every minute I am with the children. So I am in the right place. I am what I needed to be.
Okay.
In respect to my relationship to the children.
How do you feel about yourself now that you don't have someone's standards that you're constantly trying to meet?
It is amazing because if I don't want to wear red, I don't wear red. If I don't want to eat a spinach, I don't need to eat a spinach. And I don't need to be on time every single time. And I don't need to please somebody all the time. And that is freedom. It feels like I'm an eagle and I can accomplish anything. I don't need to ask for permission.
So what is the next step that you see for where Alberto is going to go now that he is this swinging bachelor that's out there in California? What is the next step for you?
The next step to me is finalizing the financial part. I'm willing to be generous just to close the cycle and begin a new one. I have procrastinated, and I do realize that I did it on purpose, because I said to myself, the children are important to me, and the most important thing to accomplish was I want my children back. And I put all the financial stuff on the side. And now I know I need to pay more attention to that and put everything in paper and get the lawyers to do what they need to do. It just happened that by choice, I chose not to go into that because I thought my children were my first priority.
Okay, now you spoke of your children, and it feels amazing to have them back, and you said the next step is the financial portion of the divorce, but what is it you want for you in your life? What is it that would just propel you to the next level to go, you know what, I am just absolutely unstoppable?
Could you ask me the question again, please?
Okay, so when I asked you what was the next step for you, the first thing you mentioned was the financial portion of the divorce, and that, you know, you feel amazing now that you have the kids back and you're complete and that you are at peace. You feel amazing right now. But aside from the financial portion of the divorce that you're going through, what would be the next step for you as a person? Not so, just a little bit set aside from the kids, but as a person, because you have to satisfy yourself first, but as a person, what would be your next step so that you know that you are absolutely unstoppable, that all of this that you've gone through has been for naught? What would be your next step for you as an individual?
Oh, you opened another can of worms, because 2 weeks ago I received an offer for early retirement. And
okay.
I again, I'm going to share what Nan said. I've been working in corporate America for the last 27 years in a very stressful job where it's in sales, where you need to meet your objectives, and it's basically all at the end of the day come down to numbers and everything. So when I got this offer for early retirement with a very generous package, I was dancing on my feet.
Wow.
And my question was, where do I sign? How do I do this faster? So I am entertaining the possibility that I will retire by the beginning of February.
Oh, wow. And how does that make you feel?
It makes me feel amazing, but what is interesting is that everybody I talk to, they look at me and they said, what? You don't look your retirement age. You cannot stop working. Everybody tells me that. And I said to myself, but what is the purpose of working hard all your life and not enjoy the fruits of your labors?
So then if you opt to take the early retirement, what would you do after that? What is it that you would like to achieve for the second part of your life?
Oh, I think this is a divine gift, and I'm going to enjoy it every minute. This is a sabbatical 18 months that I never had, and there is so many things that I want to do with it. So to begin with, I want to spend more time with the children. I would like to use my skills and my knowledge and my personal experience to be able to give back to the community and to help people, because I think I've been a very blessed person in many different ways, and I'm ready to do that. And because of that, I'm making this call also. I think it's a time to reflect and to meditate and to just look at all the opportunities that life can offer and say, wow, I'm just amazed that all this is in front of me, and I'm just looking at this whole thing as an amazing opportunity to do wonderful things. So I just see opportunity in everything is happening. I know it's difficult to say goodbye to a large corporation where you've been known for being a producer and a person who was at the top all the time and everything. But life, there is cycles. And I just see myself like this cycle is closing in peace and in harmony. And, some of the people, like, because it's not just me that's going through this process. We have 14 of us in the group. And some people looked at it, well, they're going to get rid of the older people who made the more money, but I just don't see it that way. I just see it, you know what? How many times do you have the opportunity to be able to walk away and they give you a little envelope that you can cherish and use to whatever you want to do, and it's still, you could go back and do something else different if you feel you have the need. But as far as I am concerned, I gave up a mansion for peace, and I'm okay living with less and living smaller. So being able to survive is not an issue. Being happy and content with who I am is key to me.
Wow. Well, at this point, I think my time is coming to a close with you. This would be, I guess, the portion where I kind of we kind of implement a small step, but it sounds like to me from what you've been through and for the opportunities that have been presented to you, that you are well ahead of the game. And I think that you have made steps to bring your peace and to achieve your goals. So for that, I applaud you and I take my hat off to you, because I've been there and I totally understand. So for that, I say kudos.
Thank you.
So, Nan, I'm done because I don't know what else to do. You kind of stopped me. I wasn't expecting
okay,
that.
Okay, Deidre, that was wonderful. You've done a great job. So let me just ask you, Eliberto, what is your next immediate step? Something that you'd commit to doing?
My next immediate step is to put all the financials in order and send the proposal and close the cycle. And even if I have to pay more than what I need to pay, I'm just willing to do that for the sake of peace.
Okay. You know, I have to echo what Deidre said. I really applaud you. You obviously are a wonderful father. I'm not sure that there are as many men that would fight as hard as you have to be able to see their children regularly, to be in their lives. I think those children are so lucky to have you as a father. What I think you are going to be a wonderful model in their lives, someone who has values and purpose. That means so much. The fact, as you said, you've given up your mansion for peace, and obviously I can hear it in your voice that you're a happy person. You're whatever is going on in your life right now after this point, you're going to share it with the world by the sound of it. And I too admire that. So whatever happens once you get your finances settled, I have no doubt that you are going to be a person that does good in this world. So thank you so much, Alberto, for being such a great client today and for sharing such a personal story with us. You know, we're strangers to you, and yet you've told us your story, and I think it's a story that is very inspirational. You've had so many difficulties where you could have become bitter, you could have let anger take over, you could have been nasty, and instead you chose to put the best interests of your children first. I'm so admiring of your story. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Thank you. I just want to say one thing. None of this happened in a week. It took me time. I made mistakes all around.
I can imagine.
But today I'm a better person compared to when I began the process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it was a learning experience for me, and I'm planning to write a book about it, and if possible, make a movie.
Wonderful. Wow. That sounds like a wonderful idea. So, Alberto, what was it about being coached around this today? Where did you find value in that?
In being a coach?
In being the client today. Where did you find value in being coached about this today?
I was going to be the coach, but Deidre beat me up in time, so I didn't have my time. So, and I try not to be, I try to be as concise as possible to present my case.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's good that Deidre was able to listen to me. I think mm-hmm. the questions that she presented were kind of making me reflect. And I know the coach is not going to give me a solution to anything. At the end of the day, it's me who needs to make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt that if I'm considering this as something that I would like to do in my life, it would be good to feel how it is that to feel how it is, what is the experience of being coached, and I mm-hmm. and I feel that, and I enjoy the opportunity.
Wonderful. So you can see how, having had this experience of being a client, how do you think that would impact on you as a coach?
I think it would help me a lot. Somehow I see myself as a coach already, because I've been doing coaching throughout my life.
Uh-huh.
I just need to remove myself from the first impulse to guide, direct, and provide counseling, which is not what we are supposed to do.
Right. Right. And I think Deidre did a wonderful job of that with you today. So thank you again, Alberto, for being such a great client. And Deidre, I'm going to move over to you. What are your thoughts and feelings about being in the coach role today?
I will tell you it was extremely difficult for me because as a mom, we're natural fixers. And so what this made me do, I don't know if you heard me tell Lisa, but I'm a multitasker, so it's hard for me to focus. But because I knew that he was my priority at this moment in time, I had to make myself listen to him. I had to devote all of my time to him, which made me clear my mind. Plus, it made me not to want to do the natural thing, which was to give him advice. That was very difficult for me.
Yes.
So even the little tips and tricks that I've learned over the past hour and 50 minutes were, it made me look at the client from a different perspective, not from the fixer or the mom perspective, but from an individual that has is really stuck on an issue that just really wants somebody to listen to them. And what really struck a chord with me was in me asking him questions, he said, wow, you really opened up a can of worms.
Yeah. Yep, that was the shift that
and
I heard
that
too.
Told
yep.
me that I am doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm listening to him, not trying to figure out what am I going to cook for dinner, not trying to figure out, okay, trying to figure out what's my next question to him. It told me that I could do this. That's really my big thing, is I can do this, and that I was actually listening. I was present at the moment with him, and for me, that's a huge win.
Well, honestly, when you told me at the start that you had never done this before, I was surprised listening to you, because you obviously are a natural listener. I loved the way you let him tell his story. You didn't interrupt. You held that space for him that he needed to, you know, explain what it is that he's going through. And then you came back and you did a beautiful paraphrase in your own words. So what beautifully said of what your interpretation was of, you know, what you heard him say, so that you made sure you got clarity that what you heard was exactly what he meant. Asking him how he feels now that he doesn't have to meet somebody else's standards. I loved that question. Very open question. And to hear Alberto describe himself as an eagle, you know, ready to soar, not having to meet anybody else's standards. It was wonderful to hear that. You could hear the emotion, the freedom, you know, that when he spoke those words. I thought it was very intuitive of you when you said, you asked him, you know, how does it feel now that you're a single? And he talked about his children. He talked about having to go through the financial portion of the divorce and how he's feeling at peace and so forth. And then you said, what's the next step for you as a person? And that's when you've opened up another can of worms. That was the shift. It was like, okay, now we're getting to the meat of it. And, you know, I thought that was so intuitive of you to ask that question. And then you asked him, what will you do for the second half of your life? And so you're really helping him to focus on, if I make, the only thing that was missing, Deidre, was I didn't hear you ask him about the takeaway, what he wanted to take away from the session. Because, you know, that might have helped you. I wasn't sure, does he want to take away the decision that he's going to take the early retirement? You know, is that what he was looking for,
okay,
for help with that decision? Was he looking for help with the decision to take this coaching course, you know, to become a coach? I wasn't exactly sure, and that might have helped you at the end with the frame. However, I think in this period, it was obvious that being able to just share his story, say it out loud, it somehow helps clients to organize their thinking, and they make their own decisions, you know, as they hear themselves talk it out loud. And that's what you invited. You created that space for him to talk about it and to organize his thoughts about it. And obviously, that was appreciated. So you did a great job, Deirdre, especially for someone who's never done it before. Really great job. So thank you both so much for volunteering and for going through this process. That coach creative coaching relationship is really special, isn't it? Where the two of you are, you know, in concert with one another, it's almost like a dance where you have the opportunity to share, to be validated, you know, that kind of thing. And you've both had a chance to experience that today. So thank you again. I'm going to open up the lines now. If any of you observing would like to press *6 if you want to ask a question, if you want to make a comment or provide any feedback about what you heard in the coaching session today.
This is Al.
Yes, Al.
Actually, first thing, I'd like to thank both Deirdre and Eliberto for stepping up. I'm sure it was very difficult because I know it would have been difficult for me. So I appreciate you guys doing that, and it was great. But I do have one question. Since this is such a sensitive subject for Eliberto, I remember hearing him say that he's procrastinating on the financial side. So should one of the questions be, or should we have stayed focused on that and have him set a deadline or something like that?
An interesting question. My understanding of what he said was that it has to be the financial portion is via the divorce settlement. So I heard him use the word procrastination too, and I wasn't sure that it was connected to financial. Let's go, Eliberto, let's go to you. What's your take on that?
Well, I made it on purpose at the beginning because in my mind, I made a very clear statement that I was not going to deal with the finances until I got my children back.
Yes.
And the reason for that was basically because she's well off financially, and I'm well off financially. It's not in any way, shape, or form thinking the children are not having something to eat. To me, the priority was the children, and the money will find out a way to do it after the children issue gets resolved.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, was a choice, understanding that this was not hurting anyone. Nobody was hurt by the fact that I delayed putting attention to the financial split of the assets.
Mm-hmm. That was my interpretation, too, is that your choice was, rather than fight for the assets and the money aspect of it, you wanted to fight to be able to see your children, to have a relationship with them, and get that part straightened out before you got into the arguing over the financial pieces of divorce.
Yes, that was the choice that I made from the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, Al, does that answer your question?
Yeah, I think so. But I think from what I was understanding is that this was kind of the final piece of the puzzle that he just needed to finish so that he can move on and start his new life. So I was just wondering if there was anything that was stopping him now from completing that, and if there is, you know, I mean, would it make sense to...
I'd be glad to share that all that should be fixed in the next 4 months.
Okay. So that would have been a good question then, Al. I understand what you're saying. So you might have asked him, what's stopping you now from following up on the financial part of it? And then Alberto would have said, well, we're working on it. It's going to be all complete in the next 4 months. So then you would have had the satisfaction that at least you followed up on that question.
Right.
And that's a great,
and there's
yeah.
a deadline there.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
That would
you.
Have been an excellent question. Right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, we're getting to the top of the hour. I'm going to bring Lisa back in because I don't want to make you go over, Lisa. So if you want to come in and do your part and we can hang in for questions a little after you
perfect.
End. Okay.
Yeah, that's great. So let's do this. What a great Coach the Coach session. This is a
Wasn't
lot
it?
Of fun to listen to
yeah.
from the observer standpoint. Yeah. And I think everyone can really see, based on what we experienced today, how valuable and really essential each one of these roles are for learning coaching skills. You know, whether you're in that coach's seat and actually like building a question upon what you heard and like doing that dance of coaching and really creating more and more powerful questions as you go along. And then even from the client standpoint, you can see the kind of how everyone benefits from that being coached place and how the rest of us got to just totally take notes and learn from the outside looking in. So let me just thank Deirdre and Alberto for being our brave volunteers. So why don't I do a little wrap-up now, and then if those of you that want to stay for more question and answer, we would love to have you stay. For those that need to go, I'm going to try to get this wrapped up in the next couple minutes. But we've done a lot in just a couple hours in our Becoming a Coach teleclass. We reviewed the Certified Coach Program, and we heard some questions about that, as well as the field of coaching. We did the co-creative relationship exercise. And we talked about what we do as coaches, what we don't do. And then we had a chance to experience this coaching session live, and you got to kind of try on the way we teach coaching skills. And like I said, there's just nothing better than just jumping in and doing it. You know, we can learn things in theory pretty easily, but it's the doing part. That's harder, you know, really. It's that hands-on piece. So, and it's really why CTA teaches coaching skills by doing it. You know, same with the business and marketing. You know, you're out there creating your business with the support of a group. So let me just wrap up by saying, we have the four classes starting in January. I may add a fifth class, not exactly sure. It will probably be a very late evening class. But Nan's class begins on the 14th at 1 p.m. So if you're ready to get going, afternoons are good for you. That's available on the website now. The tuition regularly is $31.47. For our year-end holiday special, the tuition is $26.47, and you'll see that reflected in the shopping cart now. But because it's the end of the year, you also get a whole bunch of special things because we're giving away presents. And for those of you, as you enroll, you'll receive all of this. Exploring Coaching is a download of a book, a step-by-step guide to the fulfilling career of coaching, and I think that will come to you by email. Think and Grow Rich for Coaches, we also have an interview with Dr. Dave Kruger on the neuroscience of change, which is really interesting. You'll also get access again to the Coach Training Alliance Coaching Vault, Success Without Selling, access to the virtual classroom when you enroll, a free website, a listing on the Life Coach Directory. You'll also receive, when you enroll in December for a January class, upon completion, you'll get a coupon for $250 off our Master Coach certification, $250 off one of our coaching systems or licensing programs, and let's see. Oh, there's so many things. Oh, my gosh. there's tons of stuff. I mean, year-end, this is the time to enroll. But you get all of these if you enroll in a January class in 2015. So it's a cool deal. You get coupons on graduate-level classes, which is really cool. So when you finish, if there's something you'd want to take afterwards or even, you know, 6 months down the road, you'll have coupons on those, too. So. Anyway, so if you're ready to enroll, jump in there. Don't miss your spot. These spots are going pretty quickly because of the special. Of course, everyone wants all the bells and whistles, which is cool. Who doesn't like presents on in December, right? So if you're ready to enroll, do jump in now. You can get on the website. You can get through the Certified Coach Program page or on the upcoming class schedule page. You can see, you know, where the days and times are. Just click on that link to enroll. There are no promo codes needed. Everything is all built into the shopping cart. For those of you that want to stay for more question and answer, I'm here. Nan, can you stay for a little bit?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Oh, perfect. Great. So we will be here if you have more questions. But for those of you that need to go, thank you for joining us. Feel free to call me or email me if you have any questions. Again, I'll give you my email address is lisa@coachtrainingalliance.com. And my phone number is 303-991-0388. And I'd love to chat with you personally. So thank you so much for joining us, and I hope you can stay for more question and answer. And if not, have a great day. Thank you. So who has questions?
Actually, this is Al. I just have one more question. It's kind of a personal question.
Sure.
Being a person, I know, you know, we were talking about it's good to be the client as well as the coach, but being a person like myself, I'm an extremely private person. Like, I never talk about my personal life or anything like that with anybody, and it kind of drives my wife crazy sometimes. But so, because she, you know, she wants to share, I'm like, oh, do you have to put our business out there in the street? So my question is, do you think that that would have an adverse effect on me being a good coach? Because, I mean, I've been in sales management for over 30 years, and I've always coached and consulted, and I never really seemed to have a problem, but I never did this for an actual living.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just wondering if that would have an effect on me.
Well, how do you feel about other people that do want to talk more about their personal business?
Actually, I love it. I mean, that's the whole thing. I mean, I like talking to people, and I like learning about other people, and I like the fact of helping people, but I do have that problem of trying to fix their problems because,
yes.
You know, back in the day, they used to call me the fixer because everybody would call me when they needed something or if they needed help with something. So, you know, it kind of worked out.
You won't be alone in class because everybody goes there, you know.
I think that's
one of the biggest takeaways from the training is that, you know, we get out of that, like, you know, let me just tell you five things you could do right now. You know, we all want to do that. But, like, learning to hold back and to instead of give, ponder and ask. You know, it takes training. I mean, it really takes discipline and training and feedback to really, you know, convert those wanting to tell and fix into how can I help them discover their path, not the one I think that they should take, but to ask and inquire rather than give. But I don't think it's necessarily, I mean, I think having a heart for people and wanting to see people succeed and move forward and wanting to serve them, I think that I would say is the heart of a coach. You know, if you wanted to be coached and be in that position where you're working on talking about those things in a confidential, your life in a confidential relationship, that's certainly a growing edge for you. But I don't think that you, in my opinion, I don't think you need to be that person in order to coach. But you do need to have a heart to want to help people. And Nan, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I totally agree that you certainly can be a coach even if you're a person who doesn't share a lot. You might have some problems in the course, however, because you're going to have to be a client. And so, you know, and that is a problem for some people at first when you're not used to sharing your own personal stuff. However, it could be that you're talking about, you know, this course itself, the classwork, you know, or issues that come up as you begin to build your own business and launch and grow your business, you know, those are things you can talk about. They don't necessarily have to be issues that are about your own personal life if you choose not to share about that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, it's interesting. I think a lot of men especially have problems with abandoning the fixing because that's usually the roles that men take in business. You know, problems come up. I'm a problem solver, fix it and go. I know my husband, I used to teach this stuff about communication and about avoiding fixing and so forth. And I was in a very high pressure job, and I would come home at night and I'd be ranting and raving about the board or whatever's going on, you know, and so he'd say to me, well, why don't you quit? And it used to drive me crazy. Well, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? And it was like, oh, I don't need you to fix it for me. I just want you to listen. And it took him a long time. And then he got to the point where he'd say to me, do you want me to just listen or do you want an opinion? You know?
So that's where I am with my wife.
There you go. So it's a, you know, it's, it is a learning curve, and the good news is that it's possible to change the way that you communicate in situations like that.
Mm-hmm. Now, is it okay, this is Deidre, is it okay if I chime in and say something to Al?
Oh, sure, please.
Please
do.
Okay, so Al, I am the female version of you. So I totally, totally get where you're coming from. Because I would look at people and go, no, you didn't just put your business out there like that. That was me.
Right.
And 3 years ago, I could not have held this conversation with you because I was such a private person. But I realized that me being a private person was deeper than me not wanting to put my business out there. There were some internal issues I had to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, it was insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
That's coming from a personal perspective. So when we did that exercise just a few minutes ago, I could connect to him. But the one thing I learned is without putting all your business out there, because everybody ain't got to know what's going on, but if you take that veil down and be authentic, people will open up to you more because they can connect to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what I found that has helped me to be able to get through this exercise. When we did when we did that exercise a few minutes ago, I was in his shoes because I was him.
Right.
So now I can understand. And in essence, when I'm asking you questions, I'm really asking those questions of myself and helping myself to grow. So I would say yes. And I'd be right there with you, bud. We're going to break down this veil together.
Right. And that was one of the things that you pointed out. When you were talking, you explained, you know, the true mother, you understand and you know, that just makes a lot of sense. And it's not that I wouldn't be able to relate or understand. I think my thing is there's, you know, everybody has problems. The world is a crazy place. I just don't share my problems with people because I figure they have enough on their own plate. Let's work on your problems. Mine are cool. I can handle mine. That's kind of the way I think about things. But, you know, like you said, I mean, you know, the ultimate goal is to help people. And that's really what I want to do. I want to give back. I've had a good life. I've had a great life. I can't complain. So, you know, I guess we'll just focus on that. And
here's another perspective, Al. You know, when you were saying that, you know how good it feels to help people. And, and so that's the role that you want to take is to be the helper all the time.
Mm-hmm.
When we are helpers and givers, we understand that you cannot help someone without getting something back. You know, that feeling of being a giver, of being a helper is really very special.
Yeah.
So when you're always giving and never receiving, you know, if you never ask for help from someone else, you don't give them the opportunity of experiencing that wonderful feeling of giving.
Mm.
So, you know, when we refuse to share like that, when we refuse to ask for help from other people, it's almost selfish act, and please don't take it personally. I'm not talking saying that you're selfish. I'm just saying it's almost a selfish act in that when we ask for someone's help, we're gifting them with the experience of how good it feels to give. And it's a funny story. I say to my grandsons when they're over here, I'll say, okay, Granny needs help with such and such. You know, who am I going to gift with helping me do, you know, do the windows or whatever? And they're both jumping up and saying, me, me, I want to do it. You know,
awesome.
Because I put it to them, I'm giving this to you as a gift of helping. And and so I don't know if that would help you to feel better when it's time for you to share a little bit of yourself, is that you're gifting that other person then with the opportunity of feeling good about themselves through talking with you.
Right. Yeah, definitely. It definitely does. And what Deidre said, you know, that helps as well. And I think the course in itself will help, especially when we're sharing with each other, and it is a private situation. So, you know, I think that will help me to kind of open up more so that I can become this person who will kind of reach out when I need it. But, you know, I think that this is taking this route will help me in a lot of different ways instead of just the one which I specifically thought, I just wanted to give back. I just wanted to help. I miss that go-to, being that go-to person. That's why I love being in management, because everybody that worked for me were like my children. And it was my responsibility to take care of those children.
Mm-hmm.
So being semi-retired for the past 8 years, I miss that. I miss having those children to take care of. So this kind of gives me the opportunity to help, and like I said, I mean, just there's just so many different ways that it helps, right? So that's it. I'm done rambling.
Alex,
thank you, ladies.
Thanks, Al.
I appreciate you all.
Thank you.
All right, I'm gonna click off. So you guys have fun.
Okay, I'll take care.
All right, bye bye now.
Bye.
So, what other questions?
I sympathize with Alex because, especially we have at some point been in marketing and sales. We are a type A personality and we are the ones who tend to do the talking all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It appears to be that in this profession, the key is what type of question will help the client and which way I can get this client to get to his own solutions, and it may take a little bit of time for people with this type of personality like me and Alex and perhaps others in the group to be able to pay attention and not trying to interrupt and not trying to jump to conclusions and not become the guider and the fixer and the problem solver.
Yes. Mm-hmm.